Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olives beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Rabbi with the Ink-Stained Hands, was written by Mark Siegel.
Otto! Otto!
What is it, Rabbi? What's the trouble?
Ah, Otto, this printing press. Listen to it. Like an old gate, it creaks.
I'll admit it's a little noisy, Rabbi, but it does the job.
Yeah, it does the job. But I tell you, Otto...
What, Rabbi?
I tell you, this printing press, it is much noisier than the last one. When they destroy this press, Otto, we get a nice, new, quiet printing press. Yeah?
We never did get a new printing press. And that one, the last press on which we printed Sinai, the newspaper of our congregation, was the most stubborn machine I ever worked on. It creaked and groaned and screamed. Yet, out of all that noise, there came words which sang with beauty and conviction. The noise of our printing press was the sound of the birth of freedom. There were some who used to think that the rabbi was like our printing press, just plain stubborn. Rabbi David Einhorn. They'd say he's the most stubborn man in Baltimore. And perhaps they were right. He was stubborn. As stubborn and courageous and single-minded as a Hebrew prophet. I know. I was his printer from the day we published the first issue of Sinai. That was in 1855, 6 years ago. And from the beginning, there were some people who questioned his right to be stubborn.
Rabbi, it's very difficult to talk.
Wait, I stopped the machine. Now, what was it you say, Mr. Schoenberg?
I was saying, Rabbi Einhorn, that it's impossible to talk over the clatter of that machine.
Ah, so. We go into my office, then. Otto?
Yes, Rabbi Einhorn?
Otto, you go on printing, yeah? I take Mr. Schoenberg into my office.
Right, Rabbi.
You follow me, Mr. Schoenberg, yeah? Be careful of your clothes. It's a little dusty in this cellar.
Dusty? Dust doesn't form in layers 2 inches thick, Rabbi.
Oh, a little dirty, then. Here, I clean a chair for you. Hmm. Sit down, Mr. Schoenberg.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Now, you were saying, Mr. Schoenberg?
I was saying, Rabbi, that some of the members of the synagogue have asked me to talk to you.
They're afraid to talk to me themselves?
Not at all, Rabbi, but it seemed simpler this way.
Simpler, Mr. Schoenberg? It is so important, then?
No, Rabbi. It's just that...
Please, Mr. Schoenberg, you say it, yeah?
Well, I'll try, Rabbi. It's just that a good many of us in the congregation feel that working in a dirty cellar doesn't befit the dignity of the rabbi of the Har Sinai Synagogue.
The dignity? That I print a newspaper?
It's manual labor, Rabbi. It's just not suitable to your position.
Ah, Mr. Schoenberg. Labor, no matter how humble it seems, that is always fitting. To labor with one's hands, that is even a form of worship.
And perhaps our concept of the rabbinate is not in complete agreement with yours, Rabbi.
No, Mr. Schoenberg?
No, Rabbi Einhorn. I didn't wish to put it this directly, Rabbi, but our congregation does not enjoy having a rabbi with ink-stained hands.
Yeah, I see. Mr. Schoenberg, you have been direct with me. I will be direct with you, yeah?
Good. I'm listening.
I will ask you a question. Is it the printer's ink on my hands you object to, or is it what I write with ink that you do not like?
Perhaps you will understand better if you know just one sentence from one of Rabbi Einhorn's editorials in Sinai. I remember thinking as I set the type that it was a sentence which might not be received too kindly in Baltimore in that year of 1855.
All right, Otto, you ready?
Yes, Rabbi.
The last sentence, then. Is it anything else, then, but a deed of rebellion against God? You have that, Otto?
Yes, Rabbi, go right ahead.
Is it anything else, then, but a deed of rebellion against God to enslave human beings created in his image and to degrade them to a state of beasts, having no will of their own?
Soon after we printed that editorial that Mr. Schoenberg visited us. And it was soon after Mr. Schoenberg's visit that the rabbi was called to a meeting of the board of directors of the synagogue.
Rabbi, this is a serious matter.
Yeah, that I can see, Mr. Leventhal. The meetings of the board, they're not often so well attended.
Please, gentlemen. Rabbi, I hope you will understand. We respect your scholarship. We respect your leadership, but it seems...
But, as Mr. Schoenberg says, you don't like the ink on my hand.
Exactly. Mr. Schoenberg, in fact, has proposed that you discontinue publication of your newspaper.
Because he thinks it is not dignified for a rabbi to be a printer.
We knew you would understand, Rabbi.
Yeah, Mr. Schoenberg, I understand. Gentlemen, I ask you a question, all of you. Why did you bring me here from Austria?
Because of your reputation, of course, Rabbi. As a scholar, as a great speaker, as a teacher.
Ah, good. But why did I come? You can answer that?
Not as well as you can, I'm sure, Rabbi.
Well, I tell you then. I came because I thought there in America is freedom. I thought there no government will close down a synagogue. There a man may pray as he will, believe as he will.
Mr. Chairman, this is hardly relevant to our discussion.
Please, Mr. Schoenberg, let the rabbi continue.
Thank you. Then I come here. I find there is freedom, blessed freedom.
Yes. But I find there is slavery, too. How can I be silent? I am the same man I was in Austria.
Rabbi, you missed the point. This is not Austria. This is Maryland.
Do you suppose the Almighty recognizes the state boundaries, Mr. Schoenberg?
Rabbi, if I understand what Mr. Schoenberg is saying...
What do you think he is saying, Mr. Leventhal?
He is saying that there are matters of custom.
Does custom justify an evil?
Rabbi, slavery is as old as Maryland.
Ah, it is older. That is no reason for accepting it.
Rabbi, I don't think you understand. We don't support slavery.
Please, Mr. Chairman, please. You think I don't understand? I understand. The pro-slavery forces in Maryland, they're very strong.
Yeah?
Very powerful.
Exactly, Rabbi.
And you, Mr. Schoenberg, perhaps you don't support slavery. But you don't want to antagonize your neighbors.
Well, I'm glad to see you're taking a practical view of the matter at last, Rabbi.
Yeah, I take a practical view. I take a moral view and a practical view. You know my moral view already.
Yes, I would say we do, Rabbi.
Now, I tell you, I will be bound by what you decide. But before you vote on whether you want a rabbi with ink-stained hands, I tell you my practical view.
We're listening, Rabbi.
I tell you something I have learned in Austria, in Germany, too. While one minority is oppressed, any minority...
Yes, Rabbi. What are you getting at?
While one man is oppressed, no other man is free. No, I go further. While any minority is in slavery, not even the majority is free.
Please, you let me know how you vote.
They voted to let him continue the publication of Sinai. And in its pages he spoke out strongly for freedom, for brotherhood, for an end to enslavement of one man by another. And while we worked together on the old press in the dusty cellar, the years passed and the crisis deepened.
So, Otto, there it is. Good job.
Thanks, Rabbi.
Volume 4, number 1. Volume 4.
I tell you, Otto, when we started, I never thought we would be printing Sinai for 4 years. Oh. 4 years.
A lot's happened in those 4 years, Rabbi.
That's true. Perhaps more will happen in the next few days.
Well, what do you mean, Rabbi?
Otto, did you read the editorial in this issue?
Well, of course I read it. I set the type.
I don't think some people will like this editorial.
Well, it won't be the first time, Rabbi.
That's true. I'm afraid they won't like this one particularly. It favors Mr. Lincoln. They're not very fond of Mr. Lincoln in Voldemort.
Rabbi Einhorn?
Yes, that is my name.
Well, they said you were German.
Oh, I came from Germany originally.
But you don't even speak with an accent.
Is it important that I should?
Well, no, it's not. Rabbi, I've come here as a friend.
Good. I don't believe I've had the pleasure of meeting you before.
Well, that's true. Perhaps it's better that you don't know my name.
I don't understand. But if you tell me that it's better, I won't ask it.
Rabbi, I'll be brief. I don't agree with your abolitionist sentiments.
I see. You have that right.
But I don't want to see any violence done.
You are warning me?
Precisely.
I'm rather used to such warnings.
Now, I've come here for your own good, Rabbi. You see, there's a lot of talk about you around Baltimore.
And what do they say, sir?
They say you're dangerous.
I am dangerous?
There are some folks who are tired of what you've been printing in your paper, Rabbi.
Do they say what I print is untruthful?
They don't bother. But you'd be wise to stop writing what you've been writing.
That's what they say, your friends?
They don't say it quite that gently, Rabbi. But that is what they say.
I see. What else do they say, my friend?
Well, a great many other things, Rabbi, and I'd rather not repeat them.
Such as?
You really want to know?
It might prove educational.
Glad to oblige. What they say mostly, Rabbi, is why don't you go back where you came from?
There you have it, Rabbi. I've had a visitor. Mr. Schoenberg has had a visitor. Every member of the board has had a visitor.
Was he a soft-spoken gentleman, Mr. Lowenthal?
He was, Rabbi.
Quite polite.
In his language, Rabbi.
But not in his sentiment.
Exactly.
Rabbi Einhorn.
Yes, Mr. Schoenberg.
I don't think it matters very much who the man who visited us was.
Mr. Schoenberg, did he ask you if you were a Native American? Was he surprised when you spoke without an accent?
Of course, Rabbi. He was a know-nothing. We're all aware of that.
And that is not to the point?
We're here to discuss the newspaper, Rabbi.
I think Mr. Schoenberg's right, Rabbi. You would desert your principles because they are attacked? I don't understand. Rabbi, we've all been warned. 4 years ago, when you first came to us, you taught us that custom doesn't justify evil. We accepted that, Rabbi.
But
the times have changed in these years.
That's just what I was trying to say, Rabbi. It's a question of safety, not a question of right and wrong.
Mr. Schoenberg, the greatest safety a man has is to be in the right.
Rabbi Einhorn, don't you have any concern for the well-being of this congregation?
It isn't enough to be concerned only with the well-being of our own congregation, Mr. Schoenberg. There is a larger congregation.
I don't understand, Rabbi.
The congregation of all mankind, Mr. Lowenthal.
Now, that's a big responsibility for one rabbi.
We bear the responsibility jointly, Mr. Schoenberg.
Rabbi Einhorn, you're right, of course. You're always right. But will you answer me one question?
Ask it, Mr. Schoenberg.
All right, I'll ask it. Why are you so stubborn?
Do you mind if I answer with a question, Mr. Schoenberg?
No, not at all, Rabbi.
If Moses had been less stubborn...
Yes, Rabbi.
If Moses had been less stubborn, do you think you and I would be here discussing other people's slavery?
Ed would be easy to say that all the leaders of the congregation agreed with Rabbi Einhorn, but they did not. Some considered him foolhardy. Some considered him heroic. But all, even those who opposed the publication of our newspaper, had come to respect his integrity and the force of his conviction.
Yes, come in, please.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Ah, Mr. Schoenberg, I'm glad you could come.
You expected me?
I hoped you would come after yesterday's meeting. If you hadn't, I would have visited you. I wanted to apologize.
But, Rabbi, that's why I've come here, to apologize.
It was I who spoke sharply. If you have forgiven me, I'm grateful.
And I realized afterwards, Rabbi, that you should speak.
But you still think we should not publish Sinai?
For many reasons.
Mr. Schoenberg, in all good spirit, I must ask you, where would you draw the line?
What line, Rabbi?
The line of our responsibility to others.
Rabbi, I've already said time and again, I am not a supporter of slavery.
That is no longer the whole issue, Mr. Schoenberg, as you know.
Then what is, Rabbi?
The whole issue, the sanctity and freedom and uniqueness of man.
That's a big jump, Rabbi.
It goes by little steps, Mr. Schoenberg. A small compromise leads to a bigger one.
Rabbi, you're an idealist. To go on publishing your newspaper is dangerous.
Perhaps it is more dangerous not to.
I don't think you understand the lengths to which these pro-slavery men will go.
I think I estimate the possibilities correctly, Mr. Schoenberg.
And you are willing to take that chance?
I do not think there is a choice.
Rabbi, I do not know if you're a wise man, but you're certainly a selfless one.
A selfless one, Mr. Schoenberg? No, not at all. I'm very much concerned with myself.
You are? In a new way, then?
No, not new. Very old, Mr. Schoenberg. Do you know the words of Rabbi Hillel?
Which words, Rabbi?
A few words for all time, Mr. Schoenberg. If I am not for myself, who will be for me? And if I'm only for myself, what am I? And if not now, when?
If not now, when? They were words which took on a different meaning for me. For if there were members of the congregation like Mr. Schoenberg who came slowly to see Rabbi Einhorn's point of view, there were others like me who wondered as the months went on whether there would ever be an end to slavery.
Otto, what is troubling you all the time lately? There are mistakes in the typesetting.
I don't know, Rabbi.
Are you worried? Is that it?
Worried? Yes, Rabbi, maybe that's it.
About what, Otto?
We don't seem to be getting anywhere, Rabbi.
It moves slowly, Otto. A struggle for the right always moves slowly.
But why, Rabbi? Why must it go so slowly?
It goes faster than you think. You'll see, Otto.
What, Rabbi?
You'll see. First it goes slowly. Then suddenly it goes fast. Perhaps too fast for comfort. You will see.
Rabbi! Rabbi! Are you all right?
Yes, yes, Otto.
You're not hurt?
A little scratch, nothing.
What was it? A brick. They threw a brick through the window.
Oh, that was very careless of someone.
Rabbi, how can you joke about it? You could have been hurt badly.
I can joke because I wasn't hurt, Otto.
Look, there's a note tied to it.
What does it say, Otto?
It says, remember Elijah Lovejoy. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, Otto, should read more history. He was a minister, Presbyterian minister in Illinois.
But why do they say we should remember him?
Maybe because he believed in freedom, Otto, and published a paper, as we do, to say so.
But why did they tell us?
One night, a mob threw his press into the Mississippi River. They thought they could drown the words.
Then they didn't?
He bought another press. That one they wrecked.
How, Rabbi?
They circled by night with torches and guns around the warehouse where he had the printing press, and they set the warehouse on fire.
What happened to him, Rabbi? What happened to Elijah Lovejoy?
They shot him, Otto. They killed him. Well, let's get on with the printing.
went on
printing Sinai after that, every month until last week. It has happened the way the rabbi said it would, first slowly, then fast, faster than we could imagine. Mr. Lincoln became president and had to steal through Baltimore at night on the way to Washington because they planned to kill him. The slavery men got bolder and bolder. And then last week I was working at the press when Mr. Lowenthal came running into our print shop.
Otto, Otto, where's the rabbi?
Mr. Lowenthal, what is it?
Rabbi, quickly, you must get home at once.
What's wrong, Mr. Lowenthal? My wife,
is she all right?
She's all right, the children too.
But the news, have you heard the news?
What news?
They've fired on Fort Sumter, it's begun.
It should not have come to this, not to war.
Rabbi, you don't understand. There are mobs in the street. Secessionist mobs.
The militia will bring them under control, Mr. Lowenthal.
That's why I've come, Rabbi. The military commander of the district came to the synagogue.
The military commander? Why?
He had a list, brother. A list drawn up by the secessionists.
What kind of a list, Mr. Schoenberg?
A list of anti-slavery men they have sworn to kill. Rabbi, please go home at once. Your name is on that list.
We took the rabbi home, and we had hardly shut the door when someone was at it.
Who's there?
Let me in, Rabbi.
It's Schoenberg.
Let him in, Otto.
Rabbi, I brought a carriage around to the back of your house. You'd better hurry while there's still time.
You think I will go now, Mr. Schoenberg? I've told you how I feel.
Rabbi, please, it's a matter of your life.
A man's life is meaningless if he deserts his principles.
Rabbi, you don't understand. There's a mob outside that door. My son is guarding that door with a gun in his hand.
Your son?
My son and Mr. Lowenthal's son and the sons of other members of the congregation.
Schoenberg, I thank you, but I do not think I should go.
It's not just you who are threatened. It's your wife, too.
My wife, too?
And your children.
Mr. Schoenberg, you seem more concerned about my safety than your own. You seem more worried about my children than your own.
It's something I learned from a very stubborn man, Rabbi. How will you go?
God bless you, Mr. Schoenberg. God bless you and keep you. Let us go to the carriage.
I took the rabbi and his family to the waiting carriage. My eyes were wet with tears as I shut the carriage door.
Goodbye, Otto. It will not be forever. Do not be sad, my son.
We're defeated, Rabbi.
No, no, Otto, it is no defeat. There is not defeat while men struggle for justice and freedom.
Will we ever win, Rabbi? Will there be an end to slavery?
There will be an end to it, Otto. With God's help. If we make an end to it.
It's only a week that he is gone. But to me and to all those who work with him, it seems an eternity. Yet I hear his words always. And perhaps others in time still to come will heed them too.
Slavery will go. Yet other evils will take its place. Still there is hope for man who is created in God's image. There is hope. And a responsibility for each one towards all the others. There is hope, for each man has been granted the power to choose between good and evil. There is hope, for it is not thy duty to complete the work, but neither art thou free to desist from it.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Louis Schaffer, Chairman of the Board of Temple Israel of Wilkes-Barre and President of the Wyoming Valley Community Chest. Speaking from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Mr. Schaffer.
Though Rabbi David Einhorn, the courageous spiritual leader of our story, lived a full century ago, his prophetic conception of the function of religion has striking validity for the contemporary scene. This intrepid spirit dedicated his life to the proposition that religious faith must concern itself not only with ritual, but with righteousness. It therefore follows that the rabbi, or any clergyman for that matter, must be not only a teacher of ancient and hallowed traditions, but a foremost champion in the application of the spiritual truths to the pressing problems which challenge the soul of men today. The prophetic conception of righteousness was not static or fixed, but to the contrary was ever growing and expanding, seeking to effect a wider application to a growing number of human beings. So, too, the foundations of democracy which are rooted in the principles of prophetic justice. It is my firm faith that our beloved country, the United States, has reached the highest expression of national democracy in the history of mankind. Yet it would be fatal to regard our achievement as complete and the status quo as the best of all possible attainments. As in Dr. Einhorn's turbulent period, so too today there is an urgent need to broaden and deepen the spirit of democracy. Religion must show the way. Righteousness dictates that religion must express itself unequivocally on the issue of desegregation, for the deprivation of the fundamental rights of human beings on the basis of color must surely be an abomination to the Lord. The ethics of religion demand that there must be equality of opportunity in housing, with the right of every family to a decent home, and with the outlawing of restrictive covenants which are fundamentally un-American. In the field of education, we must look to the breakdown of the rigid quotas in universities which discriminate against minority groups. Civil liberties, with their emphasis upon individual freedom, must be reconfirmed in practice. America's immigration policy must be resubjected to the teachings of prophetic righteousness. These are but a few examples of issues in which religious faith must assert its fundamental viewpoint. The Judeo-Christian tradition, which has as its cardinal principles the fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man, dare not permit religious teachings to remain pious phrases without dynamic application to our national life. In the pursuit of this goal, it behooves us all to strengthen the social action programs of our synagogues and churches and to reaffirm the right of our clergy to teach the principles of righteousness, for religion in its truest sense is the conscience of the community.
Thank you, Mr. Schaffer. Our eternal light drama today, The Rabbi with the Ink-Stained Hands, was written by Mark Siegel. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Roger DeCoven, Guy Repp, Louis Van Ruten, and Bob Hastings. The narrator was Joe DeSantis. This is Mel Brandt. Listen next week to the first of our summer series, Words We Live By, a group of discussions by Maurice Samuel and Mark Van Doren on highlights of the first five books of the Bible. This weekly program is directed by Daniel Sutter and presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.